Amen. You may be seated. Well, you're glad to be in church here today. Good morning, everyone. Folks, I have something very special to report. For the first time in now my 20th year, and this would be the 20th Memorial Day that I've been a senior pastor in my life, and of course here at Family Church. And this is the very first time in church history right here at Family Church where we have a full sanctuary on Memorial Day, and we have more people here on Memorial Day weekend than we had on Mother's Day. Wow, so it is, yeah, you are witnessing history here. And could it be that because Mother's Day weekend was absolutely beautiful, and it, up until maybe right now, it's been a little less than beautiful this weekend. It's so good to see everybody. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Before we get to the Word, again, we just want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman, and I'm the senior pastor here. We just welcome you. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. We're just so honored to have people that are with us here today that have served in our military, our law enforcement, first responders, dispatch. We're just so honored to have you here today. And today we remember those that served our nation and those that paid the ultimate price that we could walk in the freedoms and the liberties that we have. In so many nations in the earth today, what we're doing right now would be impossible because they don't have the freedom. They've got to run for, you know, their lives in order to gather in the name of Jesus. And so we're so privileged here in our nation, and that came through the sacrifice of the men and women that have served our nation. You know, today I'm thinking about my grandfathers who were both, you know, World War II combat veterans. I'm thinking of my first cousin, my little cousin that I grew up with. He was killed in Afghanistan a little over 5 years ago by a car bomb attack when he was just 3 days away from coming home. You know, and so we're just thinking about our loved ones that have gone before us, especially those that were that left a good example of faith. Amen. And diligence. Praise the Lord. And so we're just so honored to have you. If you served our nation, you're serving our community. We're just so blessed to have you here today. Amen. We just want everyone to have a wonderful holiday weekend and enjoy the day off tomorrow, right? Amen. Except for my staff. You don't have the day off tomorrow. That's a joke. That is completely a joke. We're all going to enjoy the day off tomorrow. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to Genesis chapter 1. And today I'm going to call this message Dominion, Strength, and Authority. Yes. And today we're going to talk about maybe two topics in the Word of God that are one of the most misunderstood or unknown doctrines in the Bible. And we need to make sure that we don't misunderstand this because it is so very important that we think right as believers in these days. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Meaning you're going to go the way of your mentality. Last week, the Holy Spirit, you know, just led our service and he took it a different direction. And he took us over there to Acts chapter 3:16. Remember what Peter said there to the man that was healed at the gate called Beautiful? Remember how Peter said, this man, remember he was crippled from birth and he was over 40 years old and spent his whole life sitting in the dirt, begging at the gate of the temple, remember? And Peter said, gold and silver have I none, but what I do have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, stand up and walk. And as Peter lifted that man off the ground, strength entered into that man's legs. His ankles were supernaturally healed and downright recreated. Amen. And the man stood up. He started walking. He started leaping and praising God for joy. And remember what Peter said when the crowd gathered because they all noticed the change in this man. Peter said, why do you marvel, you men of Israel? Remember this? He said, don't think by some strength of our own or by our own holiness that we've done this. He said, please know that it was by the name of Jesus Christ and by faith in this name that this man was made strong and given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And remember, that was what the Spirit of God was emphasizing last Sunday. He wants us to know that God has perfect soundness for all of his children. Perfect soundness isn't just what God gives. It isn't just what God provides. Perfect soundness is who he is. Perfect soundness is what he is. When you fellowship with God, you're fellowshipping with perfect soundness. When you read the Word of God, you're fellowshipping with perfect soundness. You know, when you're fellowshipping with God's people in the house of the Lord like you are today, I'm here to tell you, it produces perfect soundness. God wants us to be sound, spirit, soul, and body. The word soundness, it means wholeness or to be complete. Or I like this definition. It means nothing broken and everything at rest. God wants nothing broken and everything at rest in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that life won't be filled with challenges. Folks, how many of you know there's a lot of things in this world that are coming to try to steal that perfect soundness? But folks, it's up to us to hold on to that perfect soundness. And last week, the Spirit took us over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Folks, where do imaginations take place? In our mind. Where do thoughts take place? In our mind. Where will the first wave of demonic attack, where will it begin in your life? Always in your mind. If you can learn to think right, you can learn to dominate this life. Amen. What does the Bible say over there in Romans 12:2? It says, don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. The word transformed there means to look completely different than the rest of the world. You know, to be transformed into the image of God's power and his grace in your life. Amen. And the Bible tells us how to do that through the renewing of our minds. In the book of Ephesians, he says this. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? And that's Ephesians 4:23. The Bible tells us that as we think, that is how we're going to live. And as a pastor, it is my responsibility to bring the Word of God to you in a way that will help challenge the troubled thinking that we're tempted to have all the time. How many of you know our thinking in this world has got to be interrupted? It's got to be challenged, right? We can't just think the way of the world or else we're going to go the course of the world. And folks, I'm here to tell you, you don't want to jump in the course of the world that's going on these days. Folks, we want to go God's way. We want to think like God. Amen. Have you found Genesis chapter 1? Today, I'm going to talk about two topics, you know, that are so misunderstood or not known at all. Or we have a very shallow understanding of these things. And folks, we've all been there, myself included, but we need to step it up in our knowledge of these things, all right? And so we're going to talk about why God made humanity, why God made us, all right? Why did he make you and I? And again, why, here's a second topic, why specifically did Jesus Christ come to this earth? And a lot of Christians will say, well, Jesus came to this earth so he could die on the cross so I could go to heaven. And that's not a wrong answer, all right? It's just a very incomplete answer, all right? There's more that Jesus did on, you know, that cross and through his resurrection. There's more than what we've understood, and we've got to get a hold of it. Because when you get a hold of why Jesus came, it's going to change your thinking about how you go about this world and what the potential of God is in your life. Amen. So I want to help you today renew your mind. I want to help me today renew my mind, right? Amen. Go to Genesis 1:26. I've just been sitting on these scriptures, and we're going to minister the Word of God. This is, of course, when God created humanity. Here in verse 26, in what is called the sixth day of creation. And we're going to read verses 26 down through 28. And it says this, and God said, let us make man in our image. Why did God say, let us make? Because he's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three in one. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have, everyone say that next word, dominion. Dominion. Here is the first time that God ever gives in the Bible why he made humanity. All right, and it might be different than what you think. He said, and let humanity have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over how much of the earth? All the earth. And over how many creeping things? Every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female, God created them, or humanity. In verse 28, it says, and God blessed them. Aren't you glad to know that you were made to be blessed? Now, that word blessed there has a very interesting meaning here in this verse. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and what? Subdue it. The word subdue there, it means to trample down. It means to stomp a new path. Yeah, literally. Have you ever had to do that? Maybe you're going through a field or maybe walking through some heavy vegetation or going through the woods or something, and you got to kind of stomp down a new path. That's exactly the word, what that word means there. God was telling Adam and Eve when he made them, you're going to have to stomp a new path. You're going to have to tread over some things. What does that mean, God? Ooh, I don't want to give it away right now. He says, I want you to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue the earth. And he says this, and have what? Dominion. There's that word again. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over how many living things? Everything that creeps upon. Oh, back to verse 28, if we could. Praise the Lord. And over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Everything that moves upon the earth. Go back up to verse 26 now, and let's jump into this. Let's talk about why God made you. What was the purpose? What did God have in his plan when he made you and I? See, a lot of people, they get away from the original purpose. Even Christians, we get away from the original purpose that God made humanity. Now, when I say this, please don't misunderstand. I'm not attacking people that have said this. I've said this, and there's a big portion of this. This is true. But when you ask the average Christian, you say, why did God make you? Why did God make humanity? Why did he make people? You know, why did he do this? The typical Hallmark card response in modern Christianity is, God made us to love us. And I'm not here to take any sentiment away from God's amazing love for us. God, everything that God does is out of love. God is love. He does love you. He demonstrated his love that even while we were yet sinners, he gave us Jesus, his son. God loves you amazingly. But God was not sitting around one day thinking, you know what, I just don't have anyone to love, so I'm going to make somebody to love. He had a lot of other creations before Adam and Eve showed up. You know that, right? There was a whole system on this earth. If you ever want to read about it, you can go to Ezekiel chapter 28. You can go to Jeremiah chapter 4. You can go to Isaiah chapter 14. Do you realize that there was a whole existence on the earth before Adam and Eve ever, were there? You know, and remember, when you look at Isaiah chapter 14, Satan, and also Ezekiel 28 and 29, there was a time when Satan, he was not Satan. When he was made, his name was what? Lucifer, and he was a beautiful, perfect angel, a cherub angel, the highest ranking angel that God had ever made, right? And then the Bible says, until iniquity was found in him, Lucifer decided to commit treason against God and to rebel against what God had him to do. And that all took place well before Adam and Eve were ever here on this earth. All right, it explains a lot of why people are digging up weird things in the ground and we have a hard time explaining it. You know, there's a lot of Christians that really struggle with ancient history on this earth. Well, the reason why they struggle is because they don't know this. Folks, when you get into the Word of God, this earth is extremely old, filled with an extreme history. And if we would just look at the Bible, we would see that there isn't such a huge divide between science and faith as they're out there telling you. I'll tell you what, any true science will just point you right back to the Bible. Amen. But anyway, there was this whole thing going on, and one day it all fell because Satan or Lucifer decided to rebel against God. There was a reason that God created humanity. All right, and we're going to get into that because it's so necessary. Look at Genesis 1:26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The word image means the way God looks. Yes. Human beings share the similar shape and form with God. Yes. All right, that's why I always gotta say it. If you're wondering what God looks like, he looks just like me. Praise the Lord. He looks like you too, amen. If you were to see our Heavenly Father on the throne, he has a shape of our bodily shape. He would have arms and legs just like we do. We're not only made to look like God, but notice it says after his image and after his likeness. Likeness means to share the character of God, that you can have the characteristics of God. That doesn't mean you'll ever be as powerful as God. It doesn't mean you'll ever be as high ranking as God is, so to speak. And it certainly does not mean that humanity will ever rule over God. And it sure does not mean that humanity becomes God, all right? You know that stuff is being taught. Anyway, we don't need to digress down that road, right? But there's doctrines out there teaching that stuff. However, God made us to be like him. All right, just like you see yourself in your own children at times. And that can be a very good thing, and sometimes that's a not so good thing. But God intended it to be a very good thing to see himself in human beings. Amen. So he made us to look like him, but also to have the ability to think like he thinks, to talk like he talks, you know, to live like he lives, right? To love like he loves, to be forgiving like he's forgiving, to be creative like he's creative. You know, have you ever wondered why humanity is just always, you know, pressing the envelope, always growing, always creating, always inventing? I mean, I think about it, when my grandfather was born, there was mostly horses and carriages on the earth. And then by the time my grandfather was late middle-aged, we were putting a man on the moon. You know, and now we're landing, you know, unmanned spacecraft on the moons of Saturn. We're flying drones on the planet of Mars. You know, we have sent two spacecraft out of our solar system. You know, the Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. Remember those guys? You know, they had less technology in them than your cell phone does, but yet they're flying through space. Remember all that stuff? You know, and I love it. As a former school teacher, and also I was hired by, you know, New York State to be a proctor of the New York State science exam. And so I was, you know, familiar with a lot of the, you know, public school teaching and stuff on science and, you know, and evolution and all this stuff. And I love when people would say to me, they say, do you know that a chimpanzee is 98% genetically equivalent with a human being? And I'd say this, I'd say, well, whatever that 2% is, it's a big difference. They say, oh, no, chimpanzees are tool makers. They're tool makers. They take a stick and they put it into an anthill and pull out the stick and lick the ants off to eat them. Wow, he's a tool maker. Or they grab a rock and they crack nuts, you know, on the stone and they break those things open and they eat them. You know, they say, oh, he's a tool maker. I say, well, humanity isn't doing that. We're building space shuttles. We're performing brain surgery, you know. I mean, we're doing a lot of bad with some of the stuff too. But I mean, we're developing supercomputers, microchips, you know, microprocessors that are the size of a human cell. So whatever that difference is between a chimpanzee and a human being, that 2% is a huge 2%. And I'll tell you what, if you want to be made in the likeness of an animal, go ahead. But I'll tell you what, I've decided to believe I'm made in the image of God. Every man, every woman made in the image of God. Amen. But it's not just the way we look, it's his likeness or his ability that God wants to give to us. And notice here, the very first reason that God ever gave to make humanity, he said, let them have what? Dominion. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the Bible does not give love as the first reason why God made humanity. God made human beings to have dominion, or the word dominion, we're going to talk about it, or authority, or strength, or rulership, all right? We will talk about that here in just a moment. But when you look at Genesis chapter 1:26, if you look at it just casually, you think that that dominion is just, well, it's just over the birds, and it's just over the fish. You know, that means we can go, you know, duck hunting and fishing, and, you know, that it's just some kind of natural low-level dominion. You know, because it says the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. It just, if you read verse 26 casually, it just sounds like man is just, you know, going to be, you know, it's just about farming or something like that. That it's just some kind of natural kind of dominion. But notice it says that he has dominion over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Folks, we know that this is not just talking about natural dominion. It must be talking about spiritual dominion as well, because everyone tell me, how or what form did Satan take when he came into the garden? He came as a serpent. So you could say it this way, Satan came a creepin', right? All right, and you know we've got to use the joke. We have dominion over the creeps. Amen. All right. Satan, see, you keep laughing at it. I'm going to always keep you, as long as it keeps producing fruit. And some of you would just confess, well, I'm just being polite. That's why I laugh, you know, over every creeping thing. Folks, this was God telling Adam things that Adam should have picked up on. This was God telling Adam, Adam, there's something that's going to come creeping into your life that's going to try to steal the very dominion that I've given you. He's trying to tell Adam, Adam, you're here, you're in my plan, but there's something that already is here on this earth that is going to come and try to challenge you and take away what I've given to you, all right? This is God, you know, telling Adam, I give you dominion over every natural element, but I also give you dominion over the spirit behind it. See, this was God trying to tell Adam, Adam, you're going to see a lot of natural things in this life, but there's a spiritual realm behind it. And the demonic realm can try to use natural form to tempt you, to destroy your life. Folks, do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of natural things in this world that there can be an evil spirit that will try to use it to harm your life. Folks, let's just take some real simple illustrations. How about drug abuse or substance abuse or alcohol addiction? Boy, we've been talking about that a lot lately. You know, how many of you know that a lot of those things, they are derived from plants and things that are elements that are already on this earth? Oh, it's always funny to me. I have people tell me, you know what, Pastor? It's not a sin to smoke marijuana. I say, yeah, it is. They say, no, 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 it's not. It's natural. It comes from the earth. Oh, yeah, well, crude oil comes from the earth. Why don't you take a drink of that? You know, salt water covers 3/4 of our planet. Try to just live on that. It'll kill you, right? There's a lot of things that happened when sin entered the earth. A lot of natural elements were corrupted. And notice, let's answer this question. Who made snakes? Who was the original creator? God was. See, Satan can even take the form of something that God made in order to deceive, you know, and to take over and to get dominion out of the hands of one of God's people. Folks, think about pornography addiction or sexual vice. How many of you know that that has a natural form? It can come in the form of a relationship with somebody who's not your spouse. It can come in the form of pornographic materials or whatever. How many of you know that's a natural form that a demonic spirit could try to use against you to bring you into destruction and to keep you from walking God's plan for your life? So this is not just natural dominion. This is not just the ability to be a farmer and to grow crops. and to raise chickens, which that's all a very good thing, by the way. It's not just the ability to go fishing. It's not just the ability to cut down trees and build houses. That's not what God was talking about. He says, and Adam, I give you authority or dominion over everything that creeps in this earth. Because God was trying to give Adam a hint. Something is going to try to get in and steal the very dominion that I made you for. God made humanity for dominion. Yes. We got to get a hold of this. Amen. We got to get a hold of this. People say, well, no, God made humanity just to love us. No, God made humanity because Satan was already fallen upon this earth. And God said, I am going to create somebody, and I will create somebody who will stand up, someone who will resist evil, and someone who will upset Satan's plan on this earth. Satan was already fallen. He was already in the garden. He was already in the form of that serpent by the time Adam and Eve ever got there. All right, isn't that true? They were in the Garden of Eden. How many of you know, God told them there was already a tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil already existed by the time Adam and Eve showed up. Evil, the Bible said, didn't come from God's creation. It was created when Lucifer committed treason or rebelled against God. And there was the knowledge of that. And God said, I don't want you, Adam and Eve, to ever fall under evil. I don't want you to know evil. I don't want you to walk in evil. I have made you to resist evil. I made you to subdue the earth. If the earth was just already perfect, why would you have to subdue it? Why would you have to replenish it? You got to ask yourself these things. Because the fact of the matter is, God made humanity for the purpose. You were created for the reason to be absolutely the stitch in the side of Satan. That you were created to resist him. You were created to rule over him. Satan saw this plan and he moved instantly. He said, look, God just made somebody new. He made this man and he made this woman to have dominion over me. And Satan knew that he would never, never, never get a foothold anywhere if he did not steal the dominion that they had. Okay, sure, right. And so Satan went in Genesis chapter 3, and he convinced Adam and Eve to disobey God, to sin against God, to obey him, right? Which was a rebellion against God. And then when man sinned, man lost his ability to have dominion over Satan anymore. That's when the Bible calls Satan the god of this world. Jesus called Satan the prince of this world because Adam was supposed to be the prince. You know, Adam was supposed to have this authority or this dominion, but Satan took it. All right. And we have to know and understand. Go down to verse 28. God made you for dominion. Here's what the word dominion means. Are you ready? If you study the word dominion in verse 26 and 28, it means to rule or to be a ruler. To rule. R-U-L-E. To be a ruler or somebody in charge. The word dominion here in the Hebrew, it means to reign. Not R-A-I-N. We've had a little bit of that lately. Don't mention that's a bad word now around here, right? No, it's not R-A-I-N, it's R-E-I-G-N. He called us to rule, to reign, all right? The word dominion, it also means to subjugate, or like I said, to tread down. It literally means to make the elements, both natural and spiritual, subject to you. I'm going to say that again, and maybe you're just chewing on it. It means to make everything in the earth, both natural and spiritual, subject to you. Now, we're not talking about, you do not have dominion over the person sitting next to you. All right? It's not about controlling people. All right? It's about resisting evil that would tempt you in your own life. It's about anything that would try to take control over you, right, that is not from God. All right, we're going to talk about those things. Amen. All right, here's one of my favorite definitions of dominion. It means to dominate, or I like this one, prevail against. God made you to prevail against. God saw that Satan, of course, remember what Jesus said over there in Luke 10, 20? He said, "Behold, I saw Satan fall to the earth like lightning." When Satan fell, where did he fall to? Right here. And God, you know, loved the earth. God wanted to preserve the earth. And so God said, "You know what? I'm going to make a man and a woman, and I'm going to give them dominion just like me." Folks, we cannot be like God if we don't have dominion. God said, "I have made you in my likeness." The highest likeness of God is to rule and to reign. Do you know that? That is who he is. And if we're made in his image, that's great, but we've got to be made in his likeness to rule and to reign. That's why he says twice, "I've made you to have dominion. I've made you to prevail against." Folks, I'm here to tell you, and I know this sounds theological, and it almost seems weird to hear this being said out loud, but it's the truth. You and I were made to take authority and to dominate and to undo any of the works that the devil is doing on this earth. We were made to be the resistance. That's why James 4, 7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." You know, it doesn't say that the devil's going to flee from God. It says he's going to flee from you. Amen. We were made as absolutely the beings that Satan just, was downright afraid of. That we were the ones that were going to be the greatest thorn in his side. We were going to be a problem for him, and he knew that. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it's still the same truth here today. Amen. Glory to God. It means to rule, to reign. The word dominion, it implies strength, not weakness, confidence, not fear. Yeah, amen. God made us to be strong. He made us to be confident. Are you here? Yeah. He made us not to be afraid. Amen. Well, I tell you what, we got to get a hold of that. The creation of mankind is extremely misunderstood. Our existence was for this purpose, first and foremost, to prevail against the wicked one, to prevail against evil. But yet humanity, unfortunately, the very creation that was made to resist the devil, unfortunately joined the devil. And that dominion was lost, but not forever. Because there came one to give us back our dominion. Glory to God. His name is Jesus. Mankind was created with a mandate. Are you ready? The mandate that we just read in verses 26 through 28, the mandate or God's plan or instruction to mankind was to take control, to rule, to reign, to prevail over evil. Are you here? Folks, this has got to get into our thinking. There are way too many Christians that are okay with being dominated in this life. There's way too many Christians being controlled by things when they should be controlling things. There's far too many Christians that are being controlled by fear when they should be controlling fear. There's far too many Christians that are being dominated by addictions when they're supposed to dominate the addiction. There's far too many Christians that are being, you know, dominated by poverty or lack, or there's too many believers that are being dominated with anxiety and stress. But I'm here to tell you, you were made to rule over those things. Are you here today? It doesn't mean that life will always feel pretty. It doesn't mean that life will always look pretty. But it means that God has given you dominion or authority to challenge those things, to try to, you know, suppress. Why does Satan want humanity to have their face in the dirt so much? Why are so many human beings oppressed? Why are so many human beings depressed? Why are so many human beings sick and diseased? And why are so many human beings, you know, poor and have, you know, not enough food? And why are so many human beings just, you know, living down so low? Because Satan hates humanity. Satan's desire is to turn humanity into a mockery. He wants to take humanity and put humanity in the dirt and say, "Look, God, look, God, you made this man and this woman to rule over me. I've just got their face in the dirt. I've got them down so depressed. I've got them down so weak. I've got them so afraid. They're down in the dirt. You made them to rule over me. That's what Satan is doing with humanity. And one of these days, Christians are going to have the light turn on in their heart and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Dominion was lost in the Garden of Eden, but it was brought back at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not so humanity can just stay with their face in the ground. If you ever wondered why Satan comes against you so hard, he hates you. He hates you because you were the very creation that was made to rule over him. And I'm going to show you this. And this is why dominion. And so that's why when Christians, they say, well, God made us just to be loved. That's weak.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not saying that because love is weak. I'm just saying, but that idea of thing, oh, that you cannot rule in this life on sentimental feelings. You know, when fear knocks on your door, you know, if you have just that, you know, that kind of attitude, all of a sudden it'll be like, well, I got to just accept this. I got to just accept this. What are you going to do when depression tries to put you down? What are you going to do when discouragement? What are you going to do when addiction or temptation rises against you to destroy you? What are you going to do when that sickness tries to get on your child or get on your spouse or get on you? What are you going to do when those distresses, you know, and anxiety, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do when Satan tries to knock on your door? Well, you better have an answer. Because I'm here to tell you, when Satan knocks at the door, God doesn't answer it.
Right.
Do you know that?
Yes.
God does not go to the door for you.
Right.
He said, you go to the door.
Right.
He says, because the mandate of God on humanity is you rule, you take authority, you have this authority. Now you do it on behalf of God and through his strength. God is saying, I've got a mandate for you to rule and reign, but I also have a mandate on you to look like me, to act like me, so that everybody around you will see me when they see you. Isn't that what Jesus did? The mandate that Jesus had was the same mandate as Adam. Do you know that? I'm going to bring up that verse. Are you with me up there? I know you are. You're doing great. Can you bring up 1 Corinthians? Where is that? 15:45. Have you ever seen this in your Bible? Some of you are sitting around like, Say, well, Pastor, this might be deep theology. No, this really isn't that deep. It really isn't. You know, and some people say, well, you can't go this deep with believers. We better. That's why the Bible says we've got to study to show yourself approved. Amen. Where did I tell you? 1 Corinthians 15:45. Is that it? Can you bring up that verse for us? 1 Corinthians 15:45. Hallelujah. It's coming. I'm going to probably have you bring up lots of verses. Remember this verse in your New Testament? It says, as it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. We know who the first Adam was. That's Adam. Right? And that first Adam failed. He obeyed the devil. He sinned against God. But notice this. It says, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, or the last Adam made people alive again. Who is the last Adam being referred to? Jesus. Why is Jesus referred to as the last Adam? Because he has the same mandate that Adam, the original Adam, had when he was in the Garden of Eden. What was the mandate of Jesus Christ? To take authority and to undo all the works of Satan. Do you know the scripture says that specifically? Can you bring up 1 John 3:8? Boy, I'm going to keep you really working up there. Wasn't planning to go all these directions. This isn't in my notes. These are just scriptures that I meditate on and study. He that commits sin is of the devil. Woo! No middle ground in that verse. You either live a life for God or you don't. Because a lot of Christians today who are living in a life of sin and they say they're of God. The Bible says that's a lie. Now, that doesn't mean you just made a sincere mistake. You know, and you repented. It means people that choose a lifestyle of sin. A lifestyle of sin is not of God. I don't care how many times you pray the prayer. Oh, that made somebody mad. Amen. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Remember, it was the devil's sin that created all this mess, not God. For this purpose, because the devil sinned in the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? Why did Jesus come to this earth? That he would destroy the works of the devil. so Jesus Christ would show up and use the dominion that Adam failed to use in the Garden of Eden. Amen. The first Adam failed, but the second Adam did not fail. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, what does this have to do about me? I'm glad you asked. Now go. This is now the homework side of this message. Here's our side of it. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. We're just going to cut right to the chase. I had other verses. See, this is what Jesus was talking about. Oh, I'm going to show you some verses. Oh, glory to God. Jesus did not come to this earth just to be the Hallmark Jesus or the YouTube Jesus. That YouTube Jesus, I'm telling you, they're promoting you all over the place. That ain't the real Jesus. Folks, Jesus preached with authority. He did not preach with this weakness. The Pharisees, who were the most educated in the land, the most tenacious religious leaders in the land, they were terrified of him. Jesus made a whip and went into the temple and cleaned the house of God. Don't you dare think thinking that you're trying to get your image of who Jesus is through a YouTube program or through TV, you better learn who Jesus Christ is. Let the Spirit of God paint that picture of who he is in the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says that when he came as a lamb, but when he comes the second time, he's coming as a lion. He's coming as a lion. And this is who he is and why Jesus is called a lion or the Lion of Judah, because a lion represents authority. It represents strength and royalty. It says this, look at Romans 5:17. It says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Whose offense or whose sin caused death to reign on humanity? Adam, the first Adam, sinned and caused death to reign upon us all. Well, I tell you what, we've got a bone to pick with him when we get up. Adam, I got to talk to you. Praise the Lord. We're joking, but kind of not. Well, praise the Lord. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, Adam sinned and caused death to reign upon all humanity for all ages. Much more. Everyone say much more.
Much more.
They that receive the abundance of grace. Do we have anyone here that you've received the abundance of grace? That's salvation through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You called upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've now received the abundance of grace. And it's also called the gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. See, when people tell you that righteousness is how you act, you know, how you behave, that you can become more righteous, that's wrong. No. How you act doesn't make you righteous. Being righteous should guide how you act. I don't act right, I don't obey God to get righteous. I obey God because I already am. Not because of anything that I did for myself, but because righteousness was a gift that came along with my salvation in Him. Are you getting a hold of this? Say, Pastor, couldn't we just get 3 points in a poem? After all, it's a holiday weekend. I've got hot dogs waiting for me, potato salad, picnics, parades in the morning, all this stuff. Praise the Lord, go and enjoy it. But man of life, let's get a hold of this, right? Amen. Much more, all of us who've received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to give us back our R-E-I-G-N. That's the word dominion. Can you bring this up in the Amplified for me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to understand Jesus came for this purpose, to undo the works of the devil, to undo the fact that Satan stole our dominion. Jesus came to give it back. Oh, you could say it this way. You now have authority of everything that creeps on this earth. Every bit of spiritual evil on this earth, you've got authority over it. That addiction, you don't realize the whole time you've had authority over it. That depression, you don't realize you've got authority over it. And you can resist it. And though it might not happen instantaneously, I'm here to tell you, it'll leave. It'll go. Ask me how I know. Praise the Lord. If I didn't know this, there would be so many things I would be destroyed by. Look what it says in the Amplified. For if because of one man's trespass, Adam's lapse, his offense, his sin, death reigned through that one Adam, much more, surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and unmerited favor, and those that receive God's free gift of righteousness, putting us into right standing with himself. Isn't it good to be in right standing with God here today? We shall what? Reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Rule as kings in life. Boy, if that was just, if there was just another scripture that told us that. Well, how about Revelation 1:5? Can you bring that up for us? Revelation 1:5. I'm really going to keep you hopping up there. You're doing awesome, by the way. Appreciate those that serve in our audio video. You don't realize what it takes, you know, to keep all this stuff moving. It says, this is when the letter of the book of Revelation was being introduced by, you know, as from Christ. It says, and it's from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. Notice Jesus is just the first one risen from the dead. He's not the only risen from the dead. Why? Because do we have anyone else that is risen from the dead? That's who we are. And notice, Jesus is the prince of the kings of the earth. Wait a minute. How are you the prince of the kings? I thought kings were more than prince. You know, that like naturally speaking, that almost seems to not make any sense. We got to remember, though, the Bible is written and it deciphers itself. Remember back there in the book of Daniel, remember how Nebuchadnezzar had designed, and then later on, it was later on actually with the Medes and the Persians. Sorry, I'm really nerding out here. Remember how King Darius, let's just say it that way, King Darius, he had princes over the kings, meaning that there was a prince that then ruled under the 50 governors or kings, so to speak. That's where that language is coming from. It's a reference to the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, Jesus is the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. So if we're blood washed in our sins, that's talking about Christians. The kings of the earth that he references here are not politicians. How do we know? Look at verse 6. Notice the verse isn't over. He has made us what? Kings. Jesus Christ made you a what? A king. He made you a priest. Why are you a king and the priest? The king has authority. The priest can go into the presence of God. Amen. That's why there's no longer a New Testament ministry office of priest. You know, and we know that there's some sections, you know, that they still believe in the priesthood and all that. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus replaced that with the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. There's no more ministry office of priest. Why is that? Because we all are priests. That's what the scripture says. Are you here? He has made you and I kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Folks, what are you? You're a king. What does a king do? Reigns in life. Yes. I know this is coming across sometimes as, you know, it's really new or really strange in the ears of some people if we were never taught this growing up in our churches. Well, I understand, you know, that dominion is one of the most misunderstood. Sure. But I'm here to tell you, there's a reason Jesus came to give us our dominion back. That's why Jesus came. And yes, our blood, his blood washes our sins. We get to go to heaven someday. But folks, I'm here to tell you, you can go to heaven someday, but really get beat up in this life. Or we could say it this way, you could be on your way to heaven, but not do much for God in this life. God gave us dominion so we would make some things happen on this earth. Folks, someone somewhere is going to need to pray for the city of Jamestown. Someone somewhere is going to need to take authority and say, in Jesus' name, Satan, take your hands off this city. Satan, take your hands off this region. We call all every man, woman, and child out of the darkness and into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's going to take dominion. It's going to take authority in knowing who we are. Amen. I'm going to just bring up some verses. Folks, I'm going to give you real quickly three things that we need to exercise dominion over. Are you ready for this? Number one thing that we need to exercise authority over is fear. Fear is the number one tactic of Satan himself. You hear me say it around here all the time. The fear of the something is worse than the something. All right? What does that mean? See, we think the worst part of something, let's use this, like the loss of your job. Maybe you've gotten word that there's downsizing coming to the company and they're cutting, you know, payroll and they're cutting jobs and all this stuff. And you hear that there's a chance that your job might be on the cutting block. How many of you know fear can try to creep in when you hear that? All right. How many of you know, and this is the point, being afraid of losing your job is much worse than losing your job. That circumstance is just trying to open the door to let fear get in and do much worse things for a long stretch of time. Being afraid, or maybe you heard the doctor's got a report, you had a physical, and they want to tell you some bad news in your body, and fear will try to creep on you. I tell you what, you've got to take authority over that fear, because the fear of being sick is worse than being sick. All right, I'm here to tell you, you know, we said it around here and we're not trying to boast, but when COVID started, remember what we said from day one around here? COVID is not about a virus. It's about getting fear into this world. Fear of a virus, and believe me, we understand it was a real trial, and I remember I, you know, contracted that virus and my body was real sick for a few days, and you know, there's even people that lost their life. And so I'm not trying to diminish. I'm not saying that COVID was fake. But I'm here to tell you, the world is a much different place now. Not because of the virus, but because of the fear that got in through that attack. The fear of COVID is worse than the COVID. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and I think every ministry leader would agree with this, the world is different now. You know, even though the virus has subsided and receded, the fear still remains. I'll tell you what, the resistance against the things of God is way tougher now than it was before the pandemic. Christians are more heartless, and I'm not saying that about you or this church, I'm just saying in general, there's more temptation for believers to be heartless, cold, unforgiving, betrayal, all this stuff, multiplied by hundreds of fold after the epidemic, because that fear got in and it started to change the thinking of even Christians. And it wasn't just being afraid of being in public, even though that's just one of them. You know, all of a sudden, you know, people got really afraid for their kids. I mean, just so many different facets of life that fear started to trickle down in all aspects of life. It wasn't about the disease as much as it was about the fear. The number one thing that you and I must take dominion over, and that's fear. Yes. We have to understand we are delivered from fear. Do you know, I see so many Christians, they're afraid of getting free of addictions. They're just afraid to start the process because they're afraid that they're going to fail at it. You know, being afraid to fail is still fear. You know, are you getting a hold of this? The fear of the something is worse than the something. Let me just tell you, show you a couple of verses. First of all, can you bring up 2 Timothy 1:7? 2 Timothy 1:7? I think we could probably quote that all together, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Notice he gave you a spirit of power, or you could say it this way, of authority. Amen. There it is. Fear is not from God, but notice that fear tries to ride in on a natural form. Fear tries to ride in on the loss of a job. Fear tries to get in from the fear of being alone in life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of Christians that make bad relationship choices because they're afraid of being alone. Why is the Spirit of God having me to say this? Listen up, because this is for somebody. All right, there's one thing worse than being alone in this life, and that is being with the wrong person. I understand loneliness is a powerful force, and it is really a tough trial in this life. I get that. But there's only one thing worse than being alone, and that is being with somebody that God does not have for you. Don't allow fear to push you to make a bad decision. I see Christians that they allow fear to, you know, allow them to start chasing money, meaning they'll go move away from their local church just to find a better job, even though God had called them there or whatever it is. Stop letting fear make your decisions. If you want to be free from an addiction, just go ahead right now and decide that you're going to be free of that addiction and start resisting it. And start putting that plan in motion. Don't be afraid of being alone, and so you choose to be with somebody that is dangerous for you. Are you here? Fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But now I got to bring up Hebrews 2:14, if you could. I'm going to just wrap this up. We're going to get this done. I have so much in my notes, but I'm having mercy upon you today. If you say I don't believe in mercy around here, believe me, if you saw how long my notes are, I'm having great mercy on you today. Look at Hebrews 2:14. Are you here today? For as much then as the children, do we have any children of God here today? See, the reason why I constantly ask you, you know, are you redeemed by the blood? Are the children of God? I'm having you lift your hands. I want you to see yourself in the scripture. See, when I see the word children as a reference to children of God, that's me. Amen. I don't read the Bible as outside looking in. I see myself in the very verse. For as much then as we are partakers of flesh and blood, did you bring your flesh and blood here today? All right, we know what that is. It's our body. It says, Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same. Meaning Jesus had a physical, natural body. That through death on the cross, Jesus would destroy, everyone say destroy. Destroy, him that had the power or authority of death, that is the devil. What was Jesus doing on that cross? Destroying the devil. Which is ironic because it's the devil that tried to put him there. You understand that? Remember that? Of course, God the Father, he saw, he knew it was necessary, and he allowed that. He knew that his son had to go to that cross. But the devil thought that he had Jesus dead to rights by killing him. The devil was stupid. He didn't realize that his very actions was destroying himself, right? But Jesus on that cross did what? He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Look at verse 15. Here's what Jesus delivered us from. And Jesus delivered us who through the fear of death. Because Satan held the fear of death over every human being. But now Jesus delivered us through the fear of death, who we all used to be our whole lifetime, subject to bondage. Meaning that the devil holds people down in fear. Yeah. The devil has no strength. He's defeated. He's already beaten. He's already lost. But the only thing he can do is whisper in your ear and tell you how afraid you should be, how bad it's going to be. Folks, we know challenges come. We know the loss of income is not, you know, easy. We know that a challenge in your physical body is not easy. We understand that marital problems can be a real challenge, and it's a real trial, and we raise kids and there's trials there. We know there's a lot of challenges in this life. But I'm here to tell you that the fear of the something is much worse than the something. And you got to understand how demons and how Satan works is to keep us afraid of those things. Folks, you're delivered. You're delivered from fear. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Amen. Satan is going to try to make you afraid so he can weigh down your life. Don't be afraid. So, well, Pastor, the doctor told me something very concerning. Yeah, don't ignore it. You know, I mean, the doctors are just helping you. Let them help you. We're not saying that that doesn't exist, but don't let the fear in. See, what faith is to God, Faith gives God permission to move. Fear is to the devil. What faith is to God, fear is to the devil. Faith invites God's presence. Fear invites the devil's presence. We got to get a hold of this. And see, here's the number one thing that we've got to take authority over. Folks, have you ever felt fear try to creep on you? Yeah. How many of you know it might have a natural form? You might be able to feel it in your natural body. But just like that serpent that came into the Garden of Eden, it had a natural form, but there was a spirit behind it. Remember what the scripture said in 2 Timothy 1:7? God has not given us the spirit of fear. So when fear, and you could include all of its cousins, like depression, anxiety, discouragement, take all those things. When you sense that, it is time for you to speak up and to use your authority. It is for you to be the resistance that God made you to be. It is time to serve your purpose as a human being that says no. In Jesus' name, I take authority over that fear. I take authority over that depression. You are not allowed on this body. You are not allowed on this mind. In Jesus' name, you're not allowed to put that on my children. You know, you're not allowed to, you know, move that fear into our lives. We are not going to be held slave to sin or to fear. Amen. Notice that fear will keep our lives in bondage, held down. Everything that Satan is just trying to do to keep humanity's face in the dirt, he starts with fear. If you can keep fear out, you can win. And listen, you're not wrong if you just feel that coming on you. What is wrong is that when fear turns into worry and we start to speak that worry, we start to speak, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose my job. Oh my goodness, you know, the doctor told me this, I'm going to die young. Oh my goodness, you know, I had this thought that something bad is going to happen to my kid. Oh, it probably is going to happen. Oh, you know, there's this new variant going around of some disease. I'm probably going to be the first one to get it. See, we got to make sure we don't misuse our words. But when that fear arrives and shows up, folks, when are we going to take things that are trying to control us? Fear tries to control us all the time. We're supposed to control fear. Addictions try to control you. You're supposed to control them. Amen. Glory to God. Are you getting some help here? You know what? We're going to just stay right here. And we're just going to, I'm not going to be able to give you the full list. We're just running out of time. Real quickly, I just want to show you some scriptures. How about Luke 10:19? Here's another verse about the authority of God that he's given to you. These are the words of Jesus in Luke 10:19. Again, these aren't verses that were in my notes. I'm just sharing them with you because I meditate on these. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power. Everyone say power. The word power there is the Greek word authority. I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He's not talking about stepping on spiders, right? He's talking about Satan and demons. Satan was represented by a serpent. Demons are represented by scorpions. Just a little Bible illustration there for you. Jesus says, I've given you power to tread on. Remember what the scripture said back in Genesis 1:28? That you subdue or trample upon? Folks, the scripture says we're supposed to step on the neck of the enemy. We tread over demons. We stomp them down. And Jesus says, I've given you authority over Satan and demons. He says, and I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is exactly what God was trying to tell Adam in the garden. Adam, I don't care how it looks when it comes creeping in. Jesus says, by any means, whether the devil tries to hurt you financially or in your body or in your mind, your authority will win over him every time. We were made to prevail. Praise the Lord. Nothing. What would that look like in our life? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He didn't say nothing will challenge you. What if you already knew in every challenge that you've already won? Last verse. Can you bring up James 4:7? We quoted it earlier. We're going to show you again. Actually, I might give you one more after this. I might give you two more after this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Folks, here's what you need to know about dominion. It only works if you're obeying God. If you're obeying the devil like Adam did, your dominion's not going to work like it did not work for Adam. You have to be submitted to God. There's many Christians' problem right there. They're not fully in submission to God. But notice it says, when you are submitted to God, it says, resist the devil and the devil will flee from who?
You.
Me. And you. You say that about yourself. You will flee from me. So many Christians think that that's weird. They never step into this place of actually using their authority. The devil knocks on their door and they want God to go to the door. The devil knocks on their door. Oh, I hope Jesus goes to the door. The devil knocks on their door. Oh, send the pastor to the door. Oh, the devil knocks on the door. I don't know. Send my super spiritual spouse to the door. No, when the devil knocks on your door, it better be you that answer it. And it better be you that understands your dominion over the fear that he's trying to bring into your life, or the destruction, or the depression, or the anxiety, or the lack, or whatever it is. And you better resist him, and you better tell him to leave.
Right.
No, I do not do this at the Wegmans checkout line. No, I don't go to the customer service counter at Walmart and just shout this kind of stuff. Don't act like a goofball, right? But you have better exercise this authority in your own life. Amen. Can you bring up Ephesians 4:27? Here's just more verses that tell us about our authority and dominion over the devil and over fear. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. What does that mean? The devil's knocking every day trying to get in. Don't let him in. Yeah. How about 1 Peter 5:8? Boy, I'm really all these verses. These are just verses that should be on the inside of a believer.
Amen.
Study to show yourself approved. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8. Glory to God, I really am ending with this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Who's going to allow the devil to devour them? That's the question. A lot of Christians allow it. As soon as they get into fear, as soon as they allow all this stuff to come flooding in, they never stand up. They don't resist. And so the devil, you know, comes at them and devours their life. Folks, did you get some help here?
Yes.
Say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Privately. If you were to follow me around, you know, and if you could just hear the whispers under my breath, I say, Satan, I don't take that thought in Jesus' name. Satan, I'm not going to be discouraged in Jesus' name. That fear, that depression doesn't belong on me. Satan, you take your hands off of that. You take your hands off of my child. Satan, you take your hands off of my finances. Satan, you just take your hands off. No, no, no. In Jesus' name, I will not do that. You know, I say that all the time. Satan will give you a picture of yourself. It could be cheating on your spouse. It could be you, you know, just getting up and leaving. The devil paints a picture every day in my life of me doing something else other than pastoring. You remember when Satan took Jesus to the top of the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and glorious things that he could have? I'll tell you what. The devil just about does that to me every single day and says, you know what, you could go into this sector of business. Think about how wealthy you could be. Think about how successful you could be. People would hire you right here, right now. I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you what, I wasn't planning on sharing this. In this last year, I've gotten more job offers this last year than I have, like up until this year, I had none. And now all of a sudden, I'm getting job offers from companies. I'm here to tell you, I'm not going anywhere. Because I say, no, that's not God's plan. No, folks, authority, in Jesus' name, I'm going to be faithful to God. I just, you know, I'm polite. I say, no, thank you, appreciate the offer or whatever. But on the inside, and then by myself, no, in Jesus' name, I am not going to do anything that isn't God's will. Did you get some help here today? Amen. It'll change your life. So many Christians are being beaten up in this world. I'll tell you what, it's time that we push back.
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. Father, why did you make us? You made us for dominion.
Yes.
You made us for the very purpose of resisting evil. We were what you made to stand in the way of Satan and the demonic realm. You gave us the ability to control or to take authority over things that try to control us that are not of God. Lord Jesus, you said, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do not give place to the devil. For Jesus Christ was manifested for this purpose, that he would undo the works of the devil. Romans 5:17, if death reigned by one man's offense, much more they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I have made you kings and priests unto God and my Father. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord Jesus, you said, behold, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. And therefore, the church must go and tell every nation and baptize them and make disciples of the nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that you came and you shed your blood to give us our dominion back, to give us our purpose back. Father, you are so faithful and good. Father, I pray that this truth would be embedded in the hearts of all those that would hear it. And Lord God, I pray that they would have the courage to use this authority. No, we don't make spectacles of ourselves and do foolish things and try to use it to impress people. Father, we know that we don't use authority over other human beings. We use authority in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own decisions. We do not rule over our spouse. We don't rule over, you know, other people, friends and family or coworkers or things like that. We thank you, Lord God, with all of our hearts. We refuse to be afraid. We resist. We are delivered. Glory to God. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Ask yourself that question right now in your heart, real quick before we dismiss. Have you personally invited Jesus into your heart? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from your sins, saved from hell. God's got a good plan in store for your life. If you're here and you've never personally invited him into your heart, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. You know, we're not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you just lift your hand? Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire church in a prayer, and you can pray right along, right there in your seat, and make Jesus your Lord. If that's you, could you lift your hand? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that would say, Pastor, that's me? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there any others that you'd say, Pastor, that's me? I want to know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. God's got such an awesome plan for your life. That plan will be challenged. Absolutely. I'd be a liar if I told you otherwise. But I'm here to tell you, God has given you strength. He's given you authority. He's given you some dominion. Not some. He's given you full dominion. Glory to God over your life. Is there anyone else that would say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord. I've never called upon Christ and I want to be born again. Well, we had several hands here. If you lifted your hand, we're all going to pray a prayer in just a moment. Speak these words out of your mouth. Mean it with your heart. God will hear you. He loves you. He cares for you deeply. Let's all go ahead and pray these words. Don't just think them in your mind. Speak these words out of your mouth. Let's pray it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's stand to our feet. Let's glorify God. Folks, we just wish you a very happy Memorial Day. Enjoy the time with your family. Enjoy your day off tomorrow. And again, we're thinking about those that have helped serve our nation and give us this liberty and this freedom. We are certainly grateful for them. Let's just glorify God and we'll be dismissed. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you. We just say that your hand is upon every single one. We just say that your blessing is upon all that are here today. And Father, we just ask that you would bless every family, every home on this holiday weekend. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.